So many years, so many lambs were offered up, but all the blood that was spilled could never fill that bitter cup. Till one spotless lamb in the form of man gave his life on Calvary. His was the only blood that could ever set me free. Blood of another spotless lamb, but his blood was precious blood, and it washed the sins of man. And it's his blood, it heals my body, and it sets my spirit. No other blood could heal my broken body, and there's no other blood that could save my sin-sick soul.
Praise the Lord for that precious blood of Jesus. Amen, that still flows from Calvary today. Praise the Lord. Well, it's our privilege today to minister in this service. And I trust and pray that the Lord will provide something for each and every one of us today. Because we need His strength. We need the Lord. We need the Spirit of God. We need His leading and His guiding in our life. Would you stand today in honor to the Word of the Lord? We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and beginning with verse 31 today. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray, God, Lord, that you would minister today to us through thy word, by the anointing of your Spirit. God, open our hearts that we might receive it. God, apply it to our lives, O God, that we might perform that you have purposed in us. We'll give you glory and we'll give you honor in thy holy name, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray all things. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated today. I want to minister to you on the subject, ashamed of the cross. Ashamed of the cross. There are people today who do not like to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. I heard something on the news this morning that the emblem at Ground Zero has found a permanent home. You remember the debris that was found that seemed to form a crudely shaped cross. Remember that, right after the 9/11 attack, and they have preserved that. But it has finally found a permanent place where people can go and view that, because it reminded those that saw it of the cross. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that don't like to think about the cross, that don't like to associate our salvation with the shedding of the blood. But without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, that we remain in our sins, that there is no hope outside of the cross, that except it be for the cross and the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God, that there is no remission of sin. But because of the price that was paid, because of His suffering and His death, that we have access to the throne of God. That we can come boldly into the throne room of God and find mercy and forgiveness. I am not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. I pray that we never forget the price that was paid for our eternal redemption. Let us never be ashamed of the cross. The Apostle Paul wrote that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That though there are those that have tried to replace the gospel with some other message, with some other philosophy, that there is no message that will save other than the message of the cross, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God for the cross. Thank God for a place called Mount Calvary. That Calvary was a place of struggle. It was a place of sorrow. It was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of suffering and pain and agony. But He did it because He loved us so much. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm not ashamed of the cross of Jesus. I'm not ashamed to identify with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And we are able to identify with the cross through repentance and water baptism in His name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the power of the cross. For there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in that blood. Peter struggled with the thought of the crucifixion of Jesus. He wanted to share in the glory and the power, but he did not want to see the cross. We read in Scripture that Peter and James and John, that they went up to a high mountain and there they saw Jesus transfigured before them, and His garment became as shining white, as He showed them that His coming would be glorious. There appeared with Jesus Elijah and Moses upon the mountain. They desired to build 3 tabernacles, one to Jesus, and one to Moses, and one to Elijah. Oh, they reveled in the glory that they were privileged to see Him in His splendor and the glory that He had before the world was. You see, Jesus was not always a human being. Jesus was not always flesh. My Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Peter saw the glory. God said, My glory will I not give to another. There's something about the glory of God that sets Him apart from all else, even from His creation. As glorious as the creation is, and the majesty of the mountains, and the roar of the waterfalls, and all the things that God hath made, there's something about the glory of God that causes all of that to just seemed very small in comparison. In fact, the Bible says that he holds the waters of the earth in the palm of his hand, and he sends forth lightnings. Amen. Why? Because God is an all-powerful God. God is bigger than anything that we can ever know, because he fills the universe. There's nowhere that you can go where God is not. Amen. Because he is the mighty God. Peter struggled with embracing the cross. There are a lot of people today that want to share in the glory and the power. They want to enjoy the benefits, but they don't want to go through the struggle. They don't want to go through the cost of discipleship. They don't want to carry their cross. Why? Because all they can see is the glory, the power, and the majesty of God. But they cannot see the power of the cross. But the cross of Jesus Christ, it is central to our faith. Jesus said, except I be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That it's because of the cross of Jesus Christ that our world has hope, that there is opportunity today, amen, to be free, that men do no longer have to wallow in shame and degradation and in poverty and in remorse. But we can walk in the hope and in the peace and in the joy of the liberating power of Jesus Christ. We have hope today because of the cross. The Apostle Paul tells us, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is in vain. If Jesus Christ is not alive today through the power of the resurrection, then we of all men are most miserable, because our hope is in Jesus Christ. That our goal is heaven. Our destination is the kingdom of God. I'm not ashamed of the cross. But Peter struggled with that. Oh, he desired to be in the inner circle. In fact, he was in the inner circle. Peter and James and John formed an elite group within the 12. Not all of the disciples were so privileged as Peter. Whenever that Jesus went aside to pray, that he called forth Peter, James, and John. When they went up into the mountain to pray, he called Peter, James, and John. They were an elite group of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Peter enjoyed that position. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? He was glad to proclaim that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He reveled in the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He knew who he was, but he did not understand his mission. It is possible that we may know who Jesus is, but we really don't understand the mission. We don't really understand the purpose. We don't really understand what our role and responsibility is to one another under the kingdom of God. But our responsibility is to point others to the cross, to point them to Jesus, to lift him higher. Hallelujah. The cross must be central to everything that we do. That whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. We do it because of the cross. We do it because of Calvary. We do it because of His sacrifice. We do it because of the redemption by which we are saved. Can you say praise the Lord? It's all because of the cross. But Peter did not want to share in his suffering, nor in his shame. It was all right to be in the inner circle. It was all right to have devils to be subject to you through the use of the name of Jesus. It was all right to be one of the chosen. It was all right to share in His ministry. That was all right. But Peter could not come to grips with the cost of following Jesus. There's a lot of people today that they want to enjoy the blessings. They want to partake of the loaves and the fishes. They want to see the blind eyes open and deaf ears unstopped. They want to be a part of the inner circle. They want to be blessed of God, but they do not want to pay the price of discipleship. There's a cost that is involved, and Jesus said that except a man be willing to take up his cross and follow me, he's not worthy of me. You've got to be willing to lay it all down. Because if you save your life, you'll lose it. The only way that you can obtain eternal life is to give it all to Jesus. Oh God, help us to not be ashamed of the cross, to not be ashamed to be counted as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to dare to be different, to dare to be holy, to dare to be set apart, to dare to proclaim Jesus to a lost and dying world. I'm not ashamed of the cross. The Bible says that Jesus began to speak openly about His death. And Peter took Jesus aside. His Lord and Master. He knew who He was talking to. It was He that the Father had revealed that this was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew He was talking to the Messiah. Then He began to rebuke Jesus. He began to tell God how He ought to run His business. You know, there's some people that think they know how to run the business of God better than God does. Amen. So God, if You would have done it this way, or God, why did You choose this path? You know, His ways are above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. You know what may seem right to you doesn't make it right. But I know the One, amen, who knows the answer to every problem. He knows, amen, all of the mysteries of the universe. And you think that I'm going to question God? Amen. God knows what's best for me. Hallelujah. And when you begin to question God, you begin to say, God, why am I going through this trial? God, why am I facing this dilemma? Why am I up against this situation? Remember what the Scripture says. All things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to what? His purpose. Remember, His purpose isn't necessarily your purpose. Amen. Your end and what you want to do may not be what God wants you to do. Sometimes the best answer is no. Some people don't think God has a right to tell us no. When you're 5 years old, you don't think your parents have the right to tell you no. I never did like that answer. Mama, can I do this? No. Daddy, can I have that? No. But they tell me Father knows best. Amen. But all things work together. Amen. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the what? The kingdom. That God wants you to have the best. God wants you to be blessed. Amen. You're the apple of His eye. Amen. He cares more about you than you'll ever possibly know. Why don't you just learn to trust God? Hallelujah. Embrace the cross. Carry the cross. Face the the problem. Face the dilemma. Face the obstacle. Amen. Face Goliath. Amen. Face the lion's den. Face the Red Sea. Amen. Face hunger and thirst and deprivation. Why? Because God wants to perform something great in your life. Amen. Amen. Without a den of lions, you don't have the story about Daniel. Amen. Without a giant, amen, David wouldn't have had the opportunity to become the hero. Everybody wants to be a hero, but nobody wants the struggle. I knew a minister one time that he often made the statement. He said, "I would have made a good returning missionary. Because I love to hear the missionaries tell about the struggles and the problems and the miracles and the victories and all that. It'd be great to come back from the field and to be able to relate all of those wonderful things." But he said, "I sure don't want to go and be a missionary." You know, it always sounds better 10 years after the fact. That hunting trip or that fishing trip, it gets embellished over time. You know, Niagara, it gets bigger, amen, over the years, and it roars a little louder, and it's a lot more beautiful over time, amen, because we have a tendency to embellish the past and make the good old days sound wonderful. Well, I remember some of the good old days, and they're not so wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. But we need to be willing to go through our dilemmas, to go through our valleys, to face our circumstances, because God knows that we will be victorious if we learn to trust in Him. We don't need to be ashamed of the cross. Don't be ashamed of the cross. Peter could not bring himself to embrace the cross, and so he took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him. He began to tell him, "No, Lord, don't talk about dying. Don't talk about rejection. Don't talk about death. You're the Messiah. We believe that you're going to be the king, the next king of Israel. You're going to deliver us from all these problems and troubles. We know that you are the Christ." And Peter began to rebuke the Lord, verse 32. "But when Jesus turned about, he did not look on Peter, but he looked on his disciples." But he rebuked Peter. He didn't look at Peter, but he intended, the message was intended for Peter, but it was intended for all of them. And this is what Jesus said. He said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, who is it that has the keys to the kingdom of God? Peter. Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father in heaven." And he said that your name's no longer going to be Simon, but it's going to be Peter or Cephas, which means a rock or a stone. He said, "And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is the same Peter that Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, we can be chosen of God, that we can be God's person. We can be God's choice. Amen. We can be God's anointed and still become a hindrance and a stumbling block in the kingdom of God. That Peter was chosen of God. That he had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because you don't understand. That you do not cherish, that you do not appreciate the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You're thinking as a carnal man would think. You don't see the higher purpose. You don't see the grand scheme of God's plan, how that God made man, that God became incarnate in His Son Jesus Christ, that He might die upon the cross for the sins. Oh, you don't see the higher purpose. All you see is what you can understand with the carnal understanding. That's why we sometimes that we get up against things and we grumble and we complain and we criticize and we condemn and all of these things, because we cannot see beyond the problem. We can't see what's on the other side of the valley. We can't see what's on the other side of the struggle. We can't see what's on the other side of the storm. But if we could just get our eyes on Calvary, if we could just see the cross of Jesus Christ, we would know that our victory is in Him. Peter's own personal ambition obscured God's own higher purpose. You know why Peter couldn't see the plan of God and the importance of the cross? Because Peter was seeing everything in relationship with what's in it for me. And he couldn't see much good in the CEO of his company getting crucified. If he was the junior lieutenant, if he was the first in line of the 12, now he couldn't see much future if Jesus went down. He figured if Jesus went down, then they all went down. Sometimes we're not so much concerned about the fate of our brother as we are, how's it going to affect me? Hello? Amen. Peter would not embrace the cross. And the Bible says Jesus had to openly rebuke Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're doing. He rebuked him as an instrument of Satan because he did not understand the ways of God. It's impossible for us to truly understand the mind of God. Have you, any of you, read the book When God Doesn't Make Sense? Anybody read that besides me? All right, get the book. Amen. When God Doesn't Make Sense. And you might be surprised, but that there's a lot of times that God didn't make sense. Have you ever questioned anything about why is that so important? Why does God care? Have you ever? Am I the only one that ever thought, why is that so important to God? Why does it really matter? But some things seem to really matter to God. Amen? And if it matters to God, it ought to matter to you. If it don't matter to God, it don't matter to me. And it ought not matter to you. Amen. God didn't care if you're black or white or red or yellow or green. And it shouldn't matter to you. But He does care, amen, about who you marry. Amen. God intended for a man to marry a woman, not a woman to marry a woman or a man to marry a man. It matters. It may not matter in New York, but it matters in heaven. Hallelujah. God's ways are not like our ways. His ways are above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. But we need to strive to have a spiritual mind. We need to pray, oh God, give me spiritual understanding. Lord, let me have the mind of Christ. Let me desire to please You. Let me walk in Your ways. Because the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the Constitution thinks. It matters what God thinks. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for the cross of Jesus. Peter didn't want to embrace the cross because the cross signifies submission to authority. You know, there's a lot of people that have trouble with authority. There's some people that cannot work for an employer. That's why they're self-employed. And even then, sometimes they have trouble with the boss. But the cross means submission to authority. Amen. From a child, we had to learn to be submissive to our parental authority. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days on earth shall be long. That it's good to show honor to those that are in authority. And so it is in every area of life. Amen. That is something that the flesh doesn't want to embrace. That we want to do it our way. I believe Elvis Presley made a popular song. I did it my way. There's a lot of people today that are doing it their way. But that's not God's way. That's not the way that leads to eternal life. That's not the way that brings hope and joy and peace to our life. Jesus said, I'm come and you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. Let's do it His way. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's do it His way. We are not in control of our own destiny. Amen. We have to yield ourselves to the will and the purpose of God. God shapes our destinies. God chose us. He said, you didn't choose me, but He said, I chose you. The Bible says, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so He predetermined that we ought to strive to be like Jesus. It was His predetermined counsel that we should pattern our lives after Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He's the pattern, amen, that we have to go by. That we ought to, don't compare yourself to one another. The Bible says they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. But if you want to compare yourself to somebody, compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Amen. Embrace the cross. Understand the sacrifice. Understand the heartache and the shame that often comes about in order to win the victory. Because we're not in control. But what we gain in Jesus Christ is greater than what we can gain in the world. That God, amen, can do more for you than the world could ever do. God will do more for you, amen, than the world will do. Amen. God will bless you abundantly. The Bible says you can't even give a prophet a glass of water in a prophet's name without receiving reward. That God will reward you greatly. If you are willing to put it on the line, that God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have power. God wants you to have authority. Amen. But you've got to learn to let Christ lead the way. You've got to be a follower of Jesus. You've got to take up your cross and follow Him. You can't pick up your cross and go your own way. No amount of personal sacrifice will ever gain you entrance in the kingdom of God if you're not following Jesus. You can give your body to be burned and still go to hell. He said, take up your cross and follow me. No amount of sacrifice can ever merit you any favor. But if you'll sacrifice, if you'll embrace the cross, worldly ambition won't mean anything. A lot of people love the world. The Bible says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. In the last days, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Pleasure and position and power seem to be an enticement. It seemed to be a temptation to a lot of people. But we have a choice. If you choose to escape the shame of the cross, now you will embrace an eternity of shame. If you choose to escape the shame of the cross now, you'll embrace an eternity of shame. But if you're willing to bear the cross and the shame that accompanies the cross, now, in eternity, you will have peace and joy and prosperity. In conclusion today, it was the failure of the disciples to embrace the cross that was their demise. The source of their weakness, the source of their fear, the source of their vacillating was because they could not embrace the cross. They were ashamed of the cross, but they were not ashamed of their lack of prayer and fasting. When Jesus came back down from the mountain, the Bible says Jesus and Peter, James, John, they came back down from the mountain after that they had saw Him in His glory. And when they came back down, there was a multitude of people around those disciples that were left behind. And you know what they were doing? They were arguing with the religious teachers. Arguing about spiritual matters. You will never, ever get anywhere arguing the Word of God. Arguing and disputing never accomplishes anything. Because a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. They were arguing and disputing, and Jesus came down from the mountain and He said, I'm going to paraphrase, what is going on here? And a man spoke out of the multitude and he said, I brought my son for your disciples to pray for him. Now these are the same men that He had sent out. And they had cast out devils. They had healed the sick. They had performed all manner of miracles. But when this man came with his son who was demon possessed, He said, I brought him for your disciples to pray for him. And they couldn't help him. Well, no wonder they couldn't help him. You can't be strong spiritually arguing with your neighbor, disputing with one another. Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, not by arguing and disputation. You might win the argument, but what have you really won? He said, I brought my son and they could not cast out the demon. And Jesus was so perturbed. He said, how long will I must bear with this sinful and adulterous generation? How long must I bear with you? Jesus was very frustrated because they were so involved in disputing that they failed to be able to touch God. They were not ashamed of their failure. They were not, it should have driven them to their knees. But instead they defended their failure. You know, so many people, rather than their failures driving them to their knees, they'll just defend their failure. It's easier to make an excuse. They were not so ashamed of their failure that they could pray until they had the victory. They were not ashamed of their combative spirit in arguing with the religious leaders. They were not ashamed of disputing on who was the greatest among them. Oh no, they weren't ashamed of that. The Bible says, in fact, after they failed to cast out the demon, Jesus had to do it Himself. And as they were walking along the way, they were talking together. And Jesus asked them, He said, what were you talking about along the way? You know what they were talking, you know what the matter of discussion was? They weren't talking about the man's son being delivered from the demon. Man, that would have been something to talk about. They weren't talking about His power, His authority, or His mercy and grace. You know what they were talking about? Who was the greatest among them? They weren't any of them much great. They couldn't even take care of one lad that had a devil. And their topic of conversation is, who's the greatest among us? It would be a subject of debate. And Jesus said, he that would be greatest among you must be servant. They weren't ashamed. They weren't ashamed of their jealousy of others. They came and they saw somebody that was not of their number, and he was casting out devils. And he was praying for the sick in the name of Jesus, and they were being healed. They weren't ashamed of their jealousy. They said, Lord, we found one that was not of our number, and he was doing these things. You want us to put a stop to it? Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. We shouldn't be jealous of others who are blessed of God. We shouldn't be jealous of other churches that are having revival. We shouldn't be jealous of other people that are blessed of God. We shouldn't be jealous when someone receives an answer to their prayer and our prayers are unanswered. We shouldn't be jealous. They weren't ashamed of their jealousy, but they were ashamed of the cross. Oh God, help us not to be ashamed of the cross today. Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to even lay His head. Jesus said, when they begin to make excuses why they could not follow Him, He said, let the dead bury their dead. When Jesus saw them faltering and wavering in indecision, Jesus said, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. They couldn't embrace the cross. They wanted the glory. They wanted position. They wanted power. But they could not bear the cross. I wonder today as we stand, how many would be willing to say, Lord, I'll gladly bear the cross. I'll gladly follow You today. Lord, I'm willing to give up everything. I'm willing, God, to put it all in Your hands so that I can have You. I'm not ashamed of the cross. I'm willing, Lord. Lead me, Jesus. I wonder how many today would say, Lord, I'm willing to bear the cross. Those that are willing today, would you make your way to the front? And those that would gather, those that would pray and seek God, would you pray, God, help me, God, to bear the cross? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Oh, I must bear my cross. God, help me, Lord, to embrace Calvary. Help me, Lord, not to forget the cost of my salvation. Help me not to forget the price that was paid for my redemption. Let me willingly give of myself, of my love, of my devotion, of my possessions. Let me give it all to you, Lord. That you do not bear the cross alone. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we...